Well, welcome to one of the most misunderstood and misused verses in our Christian scriptures, John chapter 12, verse 8. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. I've heard it used as a justification for ignoring those in poverty, or as an expectation that we should just accept the reality that there are poor people, or even Jesus condoning poverty, none of which I am convinced is remotely true. It's all to do, as I repeatedly say, with context. John's gospel is setting us up here for the events that are to happen in just a few days, Jesus' condemnation and execution. In fact, as I said in last Sunday morning's sermon, don't worry if you don't remember it, I barely do, and I preached it. The whole of the Gospel of John is pointing right from the very first chapter in verse 11 to Jesus' rejection by the crowds and by the empire, to his death, and ultimately to the new life of resurrection. And in making this point, the author, or more likely authors, of John's Gospel play fast and loose with the historical narratives, and sometimes even with the words that Jesus uses. There are plenty of things in John's Gospel that are thought to be reflections on what Jesus said, rather than actual words that Jesus said. But that's okay, because just because we value a certain historical veracity does not mean that the writers of the Gospel had to, in a different culture, in a different way, in a different mode of thinking. They are making their point. They are seeking to share their understanding of who Jesus is, of why he's important, and the work that he accomplishes in his life, his teaching, his death, and especially in his resurrection. So we have in today's Gospel a pre-death gathering at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The writers point towards Jesus' resurrection by reminding us that Lazarus is there having been raised from the dead. And they point us also towards Jesus' death by having Mary anoint Jesus' feet with nard, or in the Old English, my favorite word, spikenard, a spice used for burial. And if that part of the story feels familiar, it's because there are variations on this story in the other three Gospels, all with an unnamed woman. In Matthew 26, 6 to 13, Mark 14, 3 to 9, and Luke 7, 36 to 50, Matthew and Mark have an echo of the comment about people getting uppity, not Jesus, people getting uppity about the cost of the ointment, and Jesus responding with similar lines about the poor being always with you. Luke goes out on a limb and says the woman is known to be sinful, and it's used as a teachable moment to let those who were there know about God's forgiveness. And essentially it seems that the story we have this evening is using this setting to make a point. Firstly about Judas, setting him up as the bad guy and reminding readers also that Jesus is about to die and be raised to life. This is a setting up story altogether. It seems that in John, the comment about you will always have the poor with you is mainly there to set up, but you will not always have me. I suspect this story is one that the early Jesus people latched onto very quickly, which is why it appears in all of the Gospels and why it still has a powerful resonance today. I do think that the writers of this Gospel wanted us to know that it presaged Jesus' death. But I also think that the reason this phrase has stayed in circulation is because Jesus is saying something about poverty. And it's not that he sees it as inevitable or acceptable, but that he's making a judgment on what we do that keeps the poor in poverty. In Mark's Gospel, that point is made explicitly, as he says in chapter 14, verse 7, you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me with you. And it's not only that, but our whole scriptures, the whole of our scriptures, the Hebrew and Christian, are riddled with times when God's love of the poor and rejection of those who hoard wealth is made clear. The different prophets railing against injustice, our judgment upon Israel's disregard for the law which seeks to make life better for all, including the poor. Jesus comes from a long line of those who know God's calling for justice and shalom, for that healing and wholeness, peace and wellness for all people, which is called the kingdom, or the reign, or the empire of God. To use a Bible verse such as, "The poor you will always have with you," in a way that suggests that Jesus condones poverty, a way that is out of context and divorced both from its original story and the greater story of Scripture, is, to be frank, obscene. For we are called to stand with and for those who are excluded, impoverished, oppressed, ignored, and sidelined. The message of our scriptures is profoundly rooted in justice and equity, and to suggest anything otherwise is to depart from anything that could be considered Christian, or anything that our Jewish forebears would have ever believed. We are called in every generation to be those who make sure that the poor are not always with us, doing all we can to make that a reality in whichever way we are able. Amen.